Have you wanted to build your own property portfolio but have limited funds to keep saving up and putting the deposits down? Or you want to start doing the buy, refurbish, refinance strategy?
And we found one that was previously a 5-bed HMO. The property is completely smashed up. It's run down. Bought it for 190. We spent 25K refurb on it. We turned it into a 6-bed. We had it valued at 285.
So 95 grand uplift. Every single week, I help people become property millionaires. And in this week's episode, I'm going to be interviewing Chris. How many properties do you now own?
8 in total.
And what's the profit?
10 grand, yeah. Well, the network in this academy is worth the fee alone.
How's life changed?
Mindset's completely changed.
He's buying properties all over the world, in Dubai, in Spain, across the UK. Did you say 4 in Alicante, Spain?
Is it? Yes, in the Alicante region, just north of Alicante. The first one I bought was 45K purchase price. We spent 4K on a paint and decorate, and it was revalued at 120. I've used that property as collateral to then get the next one.
So you've found a little gold mine then, really. Isn't it mad that the strategies work pretty much anywhere in the world? He's completely financially free. He's a property millionaire. And in this episode, you're going to learn exactly how he's done it so that you can do the same thing too, using the exact strategies that Chris is using. Chris, welcome to Winners on a Wednesday.
Thanks for having me, man.
How does it feel to be a property millionaire at such a young age as you are?
Well, thank you for the comment, the compliment. It feels good, man. It's been at the back of my mind to get involved in property. I never really had the confidence in the past. So yeah, now it's at a position where I'm becoming comfortable. The income's coming steady every month. And yeah, now I'm just looking to upscale and blow up.
Well, you're buying property like every 2-3 months, you seem to be buying a new property and you're recycling your money. So yeah. In this interview, I really wanted to find out what you're doing, what you've learned, and inspire people to be able to, because most people like you used to do will work really hard on a job, cog in a system, save up money, buy a house, rent it out. And then you have to go and save up another 50 grand and work for 10 years to do that. So I think when we met, you had 2 buy-to-lets.
I had 2 buy-to-lets, yeah. 1 in Derby, 1 in Nottingham.
Yeah. And now how much were you making from those 2 buy-to-lets?
They were bringing in a decent income, around about £1,800 a month.
Yeah. And now you're doing about what, 10 grand a month?
I'm pretty consistent with 10K, yeah. Each month.
Very good. And that's pretty passive too, isn't it?
Very passive, yeah. The only one out of those that requires some work is the service accommodation.
And I can't believe that you've done all this. Not just bought them, but systemized them, set them up. It's pretty passive, but you're doing it alongside, you're also still working in a job.
I am, yeah. I work for Transport for London, part-time. Kind of operational role. So.
Do you think when you're working with your colleagues, do you reckon they'd be surprised when they see this interview and they know that actually you're a property millionaire?
Oh, massively, yeah. It's going to be a shock to some of them. I have in the last kind of 3 or 4 months spoke more about property. Obviously, the more you learn, the more you're confident to try and kind of help other people and get people to get educated. But yeah, it'll be a surprise to a lot of them, yeah, for sure.
Tell me about the strategy that you're using to recycle your money to keep buying all these houses. How are you doing it?
Yeah, so my favorite kind of strategy is BRR, which is buy, refurbish, refinance.
Yeah.
So I'll find a rundown property, patch wise and area, I don't really care. If the numbers work, then the numbers work. And then we'll get a build team in, we'll renovate it, increase the value of the property. And then the ambition is to pull all of your money out or close to it. So then in effect, once that 6-month process has gone by, you've got a free property.
Yeah.
So for me, that's kind of like that's a no-brainer. Of course, you have to have the capital or the investment initially, but if you're getting that money back,
yeah,
it's a win-win.
So give me an example then of one of your BRRs then that have completely finished and are now rented out. Let's run through the figures. So
yeah, amazing.
How are you finding the deal for a start? Are you finding it on Rightmove? Are you buying from auctions?
So yeah, it can be a combination. I didn't find anything on auction. It is a strategy that I want to go down, but we use Rightmove and some property tools to help us kind of initially find the properties. We had a kind of big day out in a few cities. The first 2 days weren't very successful, but then on the way back, we came through Coventry. And we found one that was, it was previously a 5-bed HMO and the pictures looked amazing on Rightmove. And we're like, okay, why is this so cheap? It was listed for 190. We estimated around 280 end value. So we're like, okay, so we go and visit it. The property is completely smashed up. It's run down. It had been used for kind of, illegal activities. So we took it. We spent 25K refurb on it.
What did you buy it for?
190.
And did you buy it cash? Did you use bridging?
We didn't. So I was going through the agent and the agent ended up getting annoyed with me because I'd just learned about lease options. So I'm trying to pitch to the agent a lease option because of how bad the property, the state of the property was. So we go back and forth for about a week. And in the end, he gets fed up and he says, Chris, you know what? Deal with the vendor direct. Here's the vendor's details. Go and deal with him direct. So I get in touch with a vendor. And little did I know, the vendor's been in property for 20 years. And I'm only kind of 2 or 3 months in at this point with the academy. And he says to me, Chris, you're trying to pitch me a lease option. I can see what's happening here. He said, that's not what you want to do. It's a delayed purchase we want to do. So where I was quite new, I was like, okay. And he worked with me. He helped me through the process. We writ up the heads of terms together. I went to his house in Windsor, had a big, massive house. We sat down and we structured the deal there and then we thrashed it out. So he was amazing through that process. And then we've done a delayed purchase.
So how did that work then? So you agreed to buy it for how much?
We agreed to buy it for 190. Okay. And he wanted us to put down a small deposit, just so you knew we were serious. So we put down a small deposit.
How much?
30K.
Okay, so that's a reasonable deposit.
Yeah, yeah.
So you sent £30,000 to his solicitors through your solicitors.
Correct.
And that then gave you the option to buy it.
Correct.
And you've put 30 grand in. And then and then how long did you have to complete?
So he gave us, we agreed 6 months. I'd already, sorted out my build team. So my build team in Coventry, we knew we'd get the work done in a month. Tops.
And from his point of view, if you don't buy it, well,
He's made 30 grand for nothing.
So he's happy. Yeah. But you're happy because you've put 30 grand down, but you've locked it in now.
I've locked
it in. And that 30 grand, did you just put that down from savings or?
Yeah, that would come from savings. Yes.
You've now got 6 months to pay the additional 160. So then what did you do then?
Correct. So we are literally this week, we're at the kind of 5 month period. In the interim, I set it up as a service accommodation to bring in some revenue. And that was that's been consistently bringing in kind of 5-6K each month. We've had to stop that because we need the property vacant. So now we're in the process of finalizing the finance. That had to go through a bridging company, actually. So we bridged that and then we'll try and exit as soon as possible straight into a mortgage.
So you're going to then borrow the 160 from a bridge?
Correct.
But the work's all done.
Work's all done. Looks really good.
And then you've only put 30 grand of your own money, but then you're going to get that back when you then refinance it, pay off the bridge, get your 30 grand back. And now you're effectively left with a free house, which is a 5-bed HMO in Coventry.
Yeah. We turned it into a 6-bed and it was valued, we had it valued at 285.
Very solid.
Yeah.
So you've pushed the value, buying it for 160, no, 190.
Bought it for 190.
So 95 grand uplift. Yeah. Very good. Very nice. Good. Yeah, and that's presumably going to cash flow you quite positive as well.
Yeah, really good. So the ambition is probably to run it as a HMO. That'll bring in about 3.5 to 4K a month,
mm-hmm.
minus mortgage, minus bills. We'll probably walk away with about 2K a month profit.
How many properties do you now own?
8 in total.
8.
Yeah.
So you've gone from 2 to 8.
Two to eight.
In about 8 months.
In months, so almost one a month.
And what's the profit that you're making? You said about 10 grand.
10 grand, yeah.
And another thing is as well, what you've done really smart is you've combined buy, refurbish, refinance, which is buying properties, but also you combined it with serviced accommodation because a lot of your properties are what we call BRRSA. How does that work?
So yeah, so that's obviously you're buying the property as we just described, refurbing it. And then pulling the money out, and then you can run it as a service accommodation. So that means that we're using platforms like Airbnb, Bookings.com. We staged it so it'd be suitable. Our target audience was kind of contractors, and we kind of hit that. So we had pretty much 90% occupancy rate from day one. Mm. And they pay a higher rate. It's effectively, they're paying hotel prices, but having, in my opinion, more comfortable kind of surroundings. So that in them 6 bedrooms, they all have kind of office spaces. There's 3 bathrooms in that one. So they've got, their share bathrooms, but we have contractors in there all the time. Monday to Friday is full of contractors.
Where are your properties then? Because you said you don't particularly stick to one area. Where are they located?
So in the UK, I've got Derby, Nottingham, Coventry, and then we've also invested abroad. So we've gone Spain. We have 4 in Spain. And then recently we just bought an off plan in Dubai.
Fantastic. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're on an absolute buying spree.
Yeah.
How are you getting these deposits and these money? Are you using partners? Are you raising finance? Are you joint venturing? Or is it all started with the savings that you had and you're just recycling it?
This is all started from savings and just recycling it. So the two kind of buy-to-lets, what I was always good at was kind of having that entrepreneurial mind. So from a young age, I kind of knew that there was ways to make money and outside of the system. So I remember being as a kind of 12-year-old kid, I'd work in the local kind of sweet shop. I'd get sweets at a discount, take them to school, sell them on, yeah, double, treble, quadruple my kind of income. And that just kind of progressed. And then I started to find things like gold, commodities, silver, crypto. I always had interest in those sort of things, you know, kind of, I guess, assets. I always wanted to acquire assets. So when I got the buy-to-lets, my ambition was just don't touch the profit. Just leave it, have it separate and just let it build and build and build and build, as well as savings. So I was kind of frugal with my kind of money to that degree. And then I guess I kind of, I went on a transitional journey about 2 years ago where I stopped drinking. That was another thing that just helped me just kind of escalate my money, gave me a different kind of perspective on life and different purpose, different ambition. So yeah, it was all kind of just putting the money to one side, but then not really knowing what to do to it, with it. And then I remember getting to a point where I spoke to somebody and they said, they just gave me a rough example. They weren't based on my circumstances, but they said, if you've got 100K in the bank and you leave it there for 5 years, your money, just with inflation, your money's going to be worth about 60K if you leave it there for a 5 year period. And that kind of hit me and I'm thinking, why am I holding on to all this money? It doesn't make sense that I've put this savings away and I'm not doing anything with it. And it's losing value.
Yeah.
So that's when it was like, right, I've got to start taking action now.
Well, not only is it losing value, but it's not giving you a good return. Whereas, I mean, if you've got 100 grand in a bank, you might make at best, what, 4% or 5%? If that, so you're not really making any money off it, but it's dropping in value as well. Value. What made you branch out to Spain then and Dubai? Because you've got a couple, did you say four in Alicante, Spain?
So in the Alicante region, just north of Alicante, they're kind of worker towns. So they're not, you know, you can't really run them as a service accommodation, but they're cheap units. They were, the first one I bought was about 45K purchase price.
Yeah.
I had these kind of big dreams of doing a whole BRR project on it and, you know, spending some money, getting it done up. But the agent just said to me, no, just we'll paint and decorate it. We'll get it looking presentable and we'll just rent it out. So we did that. We spent 4K on a paint and decorate. It was a townhouse and we had it revalued and it was revalued at 120.
Wow.
So and then it was like, okay, wow.
Did you refinance it?
So we used that. It's a bit of a, in Spain, you can effectively do like a hunter's license in the UK. Yeah. So you can use the property as collateral.
Yes.
So what we've done is I've used that property as collateral to then get the next one. And then we'll go again with that and so on and so on.
So you've found a little gold mine then really in
Alicante. It's worked well. It's worked well there. They're 10% yield kind of properties. You know, it's like buy to let here. But if we're using each property to then get the next one, it's just building up.
People understand, so you're buying a property, you bought it for 48.
48, yeah.
Spent 4 or 5 grand on it. So in total, you're talking about 52, 53 grand.
Yeah, with taxes, let's say we're approaching about 58 to 60 tops.
Yeah, so call it 60. But then you got it valued at 120.
Doubled.
That's mad. The equity, that 60 grand equity, rather than selling it and making 60 grand, you're using that as collateral. You're borrowing against it to buy another one.
Exactly.
To do the same thing.
Yeah.
And you're just using a monopoly effect, a domino effect, to buy more and more houses.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the agent does. He always finds us a property that's below market value. So the one that we used that collateral for was a purchase price of 44, and it already had a current valuation of 68. So already, without doing anything to it, we knew that there was leverage there. But this one in particular, this is one where this was the fourth one. And I said, right, okay, we've done it your way now. Let me refurb it properly and let's just see how much we can push it up and then see if we can kind of manipulate the market there. Because in Spain, it's traditionally kind of straightforward lets. But on this one, what I'm going to do is we're going to advertise it as room by room, almost like HMO style, just to kind of increase that profit.
Yeah, wow. Isn't it mad that the strategies work pretty much anywhere in the world?
Massively, yeah.
We're getting students. I mean, last year, we had 43 different countries on our training.
No way.
43 and they're doing it in their own countries.
And it's weird because a lot of people have kind of, they think that there's loads of regulations and kind of legislation that's going to stop you doing this. There's nothing. You can, you know, as long as you go through the right channels, you have, you know, you need a bit of a power team. You need a good solicitor out there, good agents, of course, but you can do that just by networking. You can go out there and meet these people. You can find them on LinkedIn. They'll help you through the process and they'll get you set up in whatever country you want to invest in.
What's the goal then for you? Are you just trying to just build wealth through property?
Yeah. So this year, my kind of ambition is to double the cash flow and then just acquire as many assets as I can.
Yeah. What was it that made you want to, like, even when we met, you know, why did you come to the training, the crash courses? What was the drive?
I guess the drive was to get out of the system. I didn't want to kind of be, I seen kind of colleagues around me in various kind of jobs, and I saw them, you know, at the back end of their careers when they're coming to a retirement age, and it was very few of them had things set up that was going to kind of benefit them going forward. I think one or two I'd kind of met in my kind of career where they'd had their mortgage paid off and they looked like they were going to have a good retirement. But the vast majority were, you know, they were refinancing their house. One person in particular that springs to mind, he refinanced his house to pull out like 150K and spent 100K refurbing it back up. And I just thought, you've just increased your mortgage and it turned out he had to go and work another 5 years, you know, past retirement just to keep up with, you know, to allow for payments and things like that. So I thought, I don't want this to be me. I can't be approaching 60, 65 and, you know, banking or hoping that I'm going to get 2.5K a month for a pension. I thought, I can't do this. I've got to make some changes.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, most people, they just don't stop to think. You know, I mean, you put a bit of time aside, joined the academy and thought, okay, how can I prepare for my financial future?
Yeah, I remember watching Winners on a Wednesday. So when it would have been about a year ago, I guess, for some whatever reason, the algorithm threw your kind of program in front of me. And I think it was Nathan Lamb I watched. And I haven't watched many Winners on a Wednesday, only because of time management now. But I watched that and that was kind of inspirational for me. It was like, okay, normal people can do this. The illusion was that, you know, properties are quite elusive and you need loads of, you know, it's just, it can't be done. But that kind of gave me inspiration to think, okay, regular people can do this.
Yeah.
Your Monday to Friday, 9-to-5ers, you know, they can do this.
And now all the people that you used to watch on Winners on a Wednesday are now your friends.
Exactly.
Which is mad because you come along to some of the academy dinners and it's just, oh, you're on Winners. All these people that have.
You meet so many good people, man. So many good people. The network in this academy is worth the fee alone to join the academy, just the network. And that's without the training.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even for me, I do a lot of business deals and we do things. How are you managing a job then? How are you managing to build all this up? I know you've gone part-time, but what's the reason for keeping the job? Because presumably you're making a lot more money in your property business.
Yeah, for sure. So two reasons. It's 4 hours a day. So it's Monday to Friday, 4 hours a day. It's quite flexible with the kind of, I can do a morning or an evening, depending on the other person that's there. But it helps with finance. So because my property business is relatively new, I don't even have my first year's accounts yet. So borrowing money without PAYE, without payslips, is quite challenging. So my idea was, right, let's keep doing this. It brings in a good income. And then that's allowed me to invest in Spain. That's allowed me to, it just made things easier here with the bridging company. So, you know, the reason for that is to help with the financing. I enjoy it as well. You know, it gives me kind of a, you know, life lessons in different aspects, and you know, I meet lots of people, and yeah.
How's life changed?
Life's changed. Mindset's completely changed. My kind of purpose and vision's changed. I never really had kind of purpose in the past. I was always kind of entrepreneurial, but just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's changed a lot. Has changed a lot.
I remember when you came to a early on course, crash course, or one of the beginning courses, and you said that your mindset wasn't really right, and you were sat next to a guy who was being pretty negative.
Yeah,
tell me about that.
So yeah, I think it was my first crash course. So we on the academy we have free live training events, which is a whole week period, and it was quite comforting. You meet people there and you think, okay, so I sat next to this guy, we got along, we was chatting, and then as the week got on, he kind of got more and more negative towards the kind of the program. And I was like, oh, it was kind of put a dampener on my
That's kind mad of that you can be negative about the program because they're so amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
The content.
The energy's high. You know, you get us to do, challenge us.
And I'm on the phone doing deals, making money. And to think that there could be somebody being negative blows my mind. But you found him and you were sat next to him.
I sat next to him. And I wouldn't say it had a massive impact on me, but it was kind of there in the background. It was like, so I came away from that week and it was like, okay, so then. With the academy, you can go on, you can do your free live events back to back. And that was kind of my ambition. I was like, right, let's get back into the next one. So the next month I've done another one. And I sat next to somebody completely different this time.
I bet this time you were sat next to one of the academy members.
I was.
So academy. And they know what it's about.
And she boosted me up, man. She gave me kind of...
Can we give her a shout out? Who was it?
Yeah, Katie Johnson.
Katie Johnson. Yeah. Big up Katie Johnson.
Massive Katie Johnson. So we kind of, we was knocking about together for that week. We went for lunch. And I think she kind of saw the kind of mindset I was in. She was like, bro, you need to listen to some Jim Rohn or something.
That's exactly what I would have said.
And I was like, who's Jim Rohn? She's like, you don't know who Jim Rohn is? And I was like, no. She goes, you need to listen to him. And I drove my motorbike back from Heathrow that night and I listened to kind of an hour podcast of Jim Rohn. And it just became infectious. It just kind of changed the way I was thinking. And then that, I think from that kind of moment onwards, it's like, right, okay, I know I'm in the right place. I'm with the right people. Now it's just down to me.
What kind of stuff was Jim Rohn saying? Do you remember the kind of mindset things that he was? Because I spent a lot of time listening to Jim Rohn and I think that everybody should. And if anyone doesn't know who Jim Rohn is, he's a philosopher. He trained Tony Robbins.
Ah, okay.
And he used to run a lot of work. He's had a lot of businesses, but he used to run a lot of workshops and training around philosophy of successful mind. But what kind of stuff? How did that change?
Yeah, it was just changing your mindset. It was about, being around the right people. If you're kind of around negativity, it will manifest. If you're around positivity, it will manifest. And it's just about kind of doing the right things all the time. Creating these kind of non-negotiables, doing these things every day that kind of put you in a positive structure. And it worked for me.
Yeah. Well, since then, you built a very large portfolio and have been out to Uganda.
I came to Uganda.
Tell me about that.
So, yeah, I mean, you don't really speak about it too much, about the kind of charity work that you do. Your mentor and our mentor, Tony, had kind of mentioned it, that you were going out to Uganda. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. I'd be up for some of this. And then when he explained the whole program, what we'd be doing, what we'd be going out there for and the purpose, I jumped in. I was like, this has got to be done. So we kind of went out there. We made a small donation to the Samuel Leeds Academy, which helped.
Foundation, sorry, Academy.
Which helped go towards kind of build costs and open up School of Excellence. I think that was our purpose out there that week. But yeah, it was massive, man. It opened my eyes. I'd never been to Africa. Seeing how people live there and doing the tour around the hospital. So we went around the tour in the hospital where we opened up the Samuel Leeds ward. And just seeing it in person, there's something that just kind of happens to you. It's hard to explain. You have to go there to see it. But we walked around the previous ward where you'd had an accident in. You'd had an accident in Uganda and you was taken to that ward to be operated on. And later on that evening, we met the doctor that essentially saved your life. But walking around that ward and seeing how bad it was and how the kind of conditions that they were having to stay in, their legs were being propped up by plastic bottles filled with water. There was one guy in particular that he snapped his leg in half. He had a broken leg. He hadn't had an operation for a month. And I'm just thinking, what the hell is going on? And then we go over to the other side of the complex and we see your brand new ward. And as I understand, you kind of thrashed out a deal with the health secretary to say, okay, we'll build. You fill the hospital with equipment and orthopedic surgeons. And they did. So you've pretty much changed the structure of that hospital. They went from having one surgeon that came around, I don't know, once a week to do operations to you having kind of two full-time orthopedic surgeons in that hospital. That's a game changer for that.
I just got a message actually yesterday from a guy on LinkedIn and he said, I've just had surgery at the Samuel Leeds ward. Thank you so much.
No way.
Yeah.
Your purpose is worth
it. It's incredible. Worthwhile. And I think that's the thing that property can do. It can give you financial independence, but also it can give you the choices to be able to also help other people.
Massively.
And you when you help other people, you go out to make a difference, but you always come back different.
Massively.
And it's super rewarding. So I was really grateful that you came down and spent the week with us there. And there was a whole group. There was like, I think
there's 10, a whole group. There
10,
was
15 people.
10 to 15 people. I've met all of the people that I was on that trip with. They're all friends now.
And they're doing really good things in property.
They're doing massive things in
property. All on the academy.
All on the academy.
Yeah.
We've done bungee jumping out there.
Yeah, we did.
Which was petrifying, but it was another.
At least if we damaged our legs, we'd be able to have somewhere to go.
we'd have good facilities and yeah. 2 full-time
exactly.
surgeons.
Yeah. Exactly. What's next for you then, Chris? What's the goal?
The goal is, like I mentioned earlier, is I want 20K a month.
So you're on about 10, you want to double that? You'll do that easily.
I'll do it. And then I want to, yeah, just keep adding assets. I think eventually I want to start, well, I'm starting to help people now. So like I mentioned to you earlier, I picked up the keys to a service accommodation direct from a landlord yesterday. I want to kind of help to go through the process for people that want to do that kind of strategy. So they can come along, help stage it. We'll plug it into the kind of OTAs on the computer. So we'll get it on bookings.com, get it on Airbnb, and we'll help them go through that whole process.
What do you use? What channel manager do you use?
You know what? I've only got the one, and I use Uplisting.
Yeah.
But what I'd learned from somebody recently who has 50 essays, who I was out in Dubai with, and they...
Is that Asim?
It's Asim. It's Asim's yeah. partner.
Okay. Asim's a legend as well.
He's a legend. He's such a nice guy.
And he's been on Winners.
He's been on Winners.
Yeah.
He's the one that organized our trip to Dubai.
Awesome.
Took us around, showed us how the kind of structures work out there. So big shout out to Asim. He's been really helpful. But his business partner, Vince, talked me through how they run their SAs. And they don't use a channel manager. And that blew my mind. I was like, hold on a minute. I've got one, you've got 50. How are you not using a channel manager? And the reason being is they don't pay the high percentage if they're not plugged in through a channel manager. They get to do the kind of split, split fee. So they only have to pay 2% instead of me paying 18%.
And you were like, forget Uplisting. I'm
literally the last few weeks I've been sitting there thinking, right, as soon as I get a window, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to unplug it from the channel manager and just do it myself. But I told a few people on the ACCP and we're definitely looking into that because that's exciting. That's a game changer.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
What? How did you justify the investment in the academy? Because it's a big investment.
Time it's a big and investment, money. You know. And with me, I'll move in silent. I don't really. When I have something that I want to do, I'll go for it because I don't like to. I don't want negativity. So if I tell someone something and they start getting negative, I don't want it to impact my decision. So for me, I didn't really tell anyone about this at the academy. I watched the kind of videos on YouTube. I went down to the £1 crash course. I signed up literally there and then after that day, I knew that, you know, this is a good environment for me to be in and I just went for it. And then that's when I started to tell people after that. Once I'd committed and the money's gone, then there's no going back.
But now your kids even wanting to get on it. I remember speaking to
Olivia. Yeah. So I want Olivia to get involved. She's keen. We made a video for her and sent it to her. She was chuffed with that. She's
keen. How old is she?
She's 16. She'll be 17 this year.
And is she quite excited about getting in on the property stuff?
Yeah. She sees, I talk about property all the time. So she hears me talk about it all the time. And she knows the kind of, I spoke with her recently about Paul Carroll and Paul Carroll's daughter.
Yeah.
And Paul Carroll's doing really well.
His daughter even. Paul's been on Winners on a Wednesday. His daughter's making like 15 grand a month.
She's smashing it.
From deal sourcing.
From deal sourcing via Paul. So obviously those sort of numbers as a 16, 17-year-old, why wouldn't you want to get involved in property?
Yeah.
So yeah, next step is to get her down.
But that's again the thing, isn't it? It's not, you're not just building wealth for yourself. Being able to, the best gift, this is what Jim Rohn says actually, the best gift you can give somebody is your own personal development.
Yeah.
And I think now you're helping people within the academy, helping your kids, coming out to Uganda. So it's a positive rippling effect. But Chris, congrats, man. And I'm really impressed by what you've managed to do over such a short period of time. And I know this is just the beginning.
Appreciate it, man.
So well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Samuel.